All right, how's everyone doing today? Good? Let's hear that a little louder. I've got to wake you guys up. I hope you had your coffee. How's everyone doing today? All right, nice, nice. So thank you for coming all the way up here to the Sheraton Austin. Nice little hike up here, but it wasn't raining this morning, so that's good. We are very psyched for today's panel, Building Celebrity Brands Online. We have an awesome lineup of panelists here to talk about how celebrities build their brands online. What are the things that they do? What are the tools they use? Which celebrities are building it? And how it can help the celebrities their own success, how they can build their fans, and even like get cool new deals with it. So guys on this right spot? All right. So cool. First of all, I'd like to actually do a little bit of marketing and figure out like who you guys are so we can kind of tailor the discussion that way to whatever you guys want to talk about. So who here is in marketing and social media right now? All right, cool. All right, so social media gurus, so we'll be pretty advanced as far as how we talk about social media tools. All right, who here is NPR affiliated? All right, who here helps celebrities right now with their branding online? Wow, cool. What kind of celebrities? You in the back with the red and yellow hair?
Comedians.
Comedians, okay, cool. Who else? Yeah, you in the blue tie?
Bands, like an art slash.
Okay, bands, cool. Who else? Who else? All right, yes?
Sports stars.
Sports stars, okay, cool. And in the back, there's the man in the back, yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres, Anderson Cooper.
Okay, nice, nice. All right, so a wide range of celebrities, so bands, musicians, comedians from varying levels of degree. All right, cool, so we'll talk about that. Let's see, what else? Are there any folks who are in content creation? Like web series creators, you're interested in maybe getting some celebrities in your web series, that kind of stuff? All right, in the back, what kind of stuff have you been working on?
We do app series right now, web series and app series.
Web series and app series. And do you work with celebrities? Are you trying to? Okay, nice. Awesome. All right, cool. So, all right, so we have a very super skilled crowd, so we're going to accelerate our discussion to the real meat. And definitely, guys, feel free to jump in at any time with a question. Just raise your hand. If you can tell, I like the panels pretty interactively. So I'm Kevin Winston, founder of Digital LA. It's a networking group, which I founded about 4 years ago when I was working at Fox Interactive Media. I work with movie studios on their online social media campaigns. We organize 7 to 10 panels and mixers a month. In Los Angeles, so that's 1 to 2 a week. And then we do stuff outside of that. For example, we had a large party last night with like 400 people on 6th Street. So basically, we get the folks who are in movies, TV, web series, music, video games, visual effects, and 3D together to network. So that's a little bit about me. Then I'll have some of the panelists introduce yourselves. If you guys can say your name, your company, what you do, and then something fun that that's happening this week. This being South by Southwest, there's a lot of fun things happening. So you kind of pick what you want. Why don't we start with you, Miles?
Hey, I got him.
Oh, we got him. So my name is Miles Beckett. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Equal. We work with celebrities and provide a platform for them to manage their brand online. So basically, a technology infrastructure. Creative services, social media management, and then all the monetization as well. So we have an in-house ad sales force to actually make money off of those audiences. And something fun that's going on this week.
Something fun that you're doing.
That I'm doing. Well, we did it last night already, but we had a party last night that was pretty fun. I guess that maybe counts. So we had a Silicon Beach party with Beachman, NVIDIA, and a couple other LA companies, which maybe some people here were at, but if you were, you enjoyed it, and if not, sorry, it already happened.
All right, sounds good. And Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan McCain. I'm a writer and a Republican pundit, even though I don't like that word. I work for MSNBC, and I guess I have a personal brand on the internet. My website is McCainBloggett.com. I've had it for like almost 5 years. So that's me.
All right, cool. And something fun that is happening this week, or that already happened, or that you're looking forward to?
Your shirt is just enough.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. And all right, Nathan.
Yeah, I'm Nathan Coyle, and I do not read locations of panels that I speak on.
That's okay. You're just in time.
I'm the general manager of a property called Cambio, which is AOL's venture into the teen and young adult space. Been doing that for about a year, and prior to that I was an agent at a creative artist agency where I helped build out our digital content practice over a period of about 5 years.
Great. And what sort of celebrities do you work with at Cameo? Go ahead and name it up, literally.
Exactly. Many of whom that, if any of you in this room knew who they were, I would be a little frightened. But just a range of talent that resonates with a young audience. And what's exciting about working with that kind of, these artists is that they really understand and know how to, really know how to communicate and engage their audience online. Anybody from a, Taylor Swift to a Demi Lovato, and on. So
yeah, it's, Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Brothers, obviously, Justin Bieber, et cetera. And, again, artists who really know how to engage their audience and communicate with their audience in a very one-to-many kind of way.
Okay, great. All right, so that's who you guys are. We've done that. We've done our panelists. One other point of business: if you guys have, iPhones, Blackberries, iPads, anything that's an electronic device, if you actually bring it out and put it in the on position, because this being South by Southwest, and we actually have all of our digital A panels, we want you to tweet notes, because there's a lot of folks who can't be here today because they didn't get a pass, or they are following what's happening at South by Southwest and this panel from other places like LA or New York or Chicago. So if you guys could tweet, since y'all are avid Twitter folks and social media folks, since all the hands went up, make sure you can tweet notes that these guys are saying with the hashtag CelebBrand. So that's hashtag CelebBrand. And then once again for the Twitter handles, it's M. Beckett with two T's, and his company is at Equal, EQAL. Megan is McCain Bloggett, MCCAIN Bloggett. And then Nathan, do you have your personal Twitter you want to announce?
Or? Yeah, just at Cambio.
Okay, just at Cambio. All right, so Nathan will be at Cambio. And then I'm at Kevin Winston at Digital LA. So, and again, the hashtag is CelebBrand. So these guys are going to be dropping mad knowledge. Go ahead and tweet what they're saying out so other folks can see. Got to share the love. Cool. So why don't we just start off with building celebrity brands online as the topic of this panel. So let's talk about which celebrities are building their brands online. The folks in the audience are helping a wide variety of celebrities, comedians, actors, folks who are famous, folks who are developing. Which celebrities are building brands online, or which should be building their brands online?
I mean, I think at this point, it's pretty much everyone. Definitely over the last year, what we've seen working with the agents and the managers has been that there is a huge demand placed upon talent now to actually put themselves out there and interact directly with their audience. In fact, I actually met with an actress like the other week, and she told me that she got offered a role on Hawaii Five-O, but the requirement was that she had to have a Twitter account, and she didn't have one. She didn't even know really what Twitter was, and so part of the reason why we ended up talking to her was because she had to go digital in order to actually get traditional media roles.
Nice. All right, that's a great example. Anyone else want to add to that?
I mean, in terms of, creating, engagement, I mean, again, running a site that speaks to a younger audience, the way that we get traffic and drive engagement is not from, AOL.com so much, who's, the parent company that owns Aventure, but from the artists that we report about. So having, whether it's a video, Cody Simpson, that we might run, the way that we drive audience is to have Cody engage his fans, engage their audiences, and that's what drives tune-in, and that's what drives engagement. So it's really about the artists themselves building that following versus the old world of the publisher speaking to those fans.
Great. So what happens if a celebrity is shy or, I'm not that good at technology, or it's going to take too long? What do you say to those sorts of celebrities who aren't quite there yet?
I mean, we provide a complete solution. So for us, we try to kind of bring them along the process. Ultimately, it's best if they are, tweeting themselves and speaking directly, and, that's always the goal. So, I find that Twitter is a kind of like the gateway drug of social media because it's pretty easy to use. Facebook is a little bit more challenging. Even today, there's still the updating of your Facebook page is a lot more difficult. So, I don't know. The thing that I usually tell people is, number one, it's really about being authentic and honest and just like put out there like who you are and what you're doing. And you know, typically that makes it a bit easier. Oftentimes there's this concern because in the traditional media world there's so much forethought and editing and rewriting and the process of creating traditional content. There's a lot of work that's put in up front. Sometimes there's this hesitation to be spontaneous. So I guess kind of it basically telling them that it's okay to be spontaneous is probably like the most important thing.
Okay. Great. All right.
So I mean, just to add to that, it's frequency. More. And so we see artists who, you know, just aren't speaking out on the platform often enough. And that's...
So how often should a celebrity be speaking out? Is it like once a day, once a week? What's a good range?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly way more than once a week. I mean, I can say that because you just quickly lose interest and you lose the delight, frankly, of your fan base if you're not speaking to them regularly. And the other piece is just being responsive. Yeah. And, you know, it's not a podium for artists to stand on and speak from. You're in the pit and you're talking to people.
Right.
And you're engaging. So you need to respond, regularly and find someone who's saying something to you that you think is interesting and answer their question or speak back to them.
Great. This is a good segue into actually how celebrities can use these tools. So you said don't just like tell other people what you're doing. Well, do that, but also engage and interact with people. What are some good ways that celebrities can engage at replies on Twitter? What are some other ways that really work to motivate a crowd? Is it like taking snaps of like pictures backstage? Is it saying here's what I'm meeting today? Is it telling people, hey, buy my CD or go download my new stuff or watch my movie? What sort of things actually engage?
I don't know. What have you found? Because I mean, you have actually built up your audience from scratch, so...
The one thing I would say in this context, I mean, when you're saying celebrities, celebrity now implies politicians as well. This is no longer an option for any public figure in any realm not to engage in anymore. For me, it's pretending like the internet is your best friend. It's a girlfriend that's hanging out with you, which there's a comfort level to it that as I get older it is more complicated than it was when I started when I was 21. But I think just sharing intimate details, I mean, not too intimate, but to a degree about your life, about your family, about what you're doing, that has been what has always worked for me. And obviously I'm in a completely different scenario, but even I started out blogging on my father's campaign, and I actually blogged about how difficult the experience was and how emotionally draining and that I was gaining weight and it was awful. And that was what really started for me. So
something that's very personal that you're dealing with, kind of exposing what's happening.
And in politics especially, it's very complicated right now because now everyone is on, but not everyone is using it the correct way. I mean, I would use, Mitt Romney's Twitter account for an example. As much as I like Mitt Romney and his campaign, they aren't utilizing it in the way that I would think would be best. It can't just be the wire and press releases and what the campaign wants you to know. It has to be on a more intimate level as well.
So the stuff that you put out there, what gets a lot of like at replies? What gets a lot of hashtag shoutouts? What gets a lot of comments and likes?
Sort of anytime I say anything that I think anybody is thinking,
So you're the one who says what other people are thinking. They're like, yes, we like that.
I think people, you can't be so guarded and censored and be so scared of what, again, I can only relate to my world of politics and news, but what is going to necessarily get picked up and explored everywhere. Actually saying what you feel instead of what you think that the media wants you to hear, I guess.
Cool, which ties in what you were saying, Miles, be authentic, don't just...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I think to Megan's point, treating it like a conversation. I mean, that's really the key. I mean, people think of Twitter as a way to broadcast, but really, if you look at the people who have built large followings, they're actually doing almost more at replying and retweeting than they are generating original content. I mean, obviously, they have this original content stream that they're putting out there, but what really stokes the fires and gets people involved is that it's what you said. It's that replying and the retweeting and like truly engaging with that community. And I think that therein lies the challenge too, obviously, because that takes a lot of time. I mean, one of the things that we've done that I think we've done a good job at is helping to offload some of that burden, basically, from the.
So you have folks on your staff who will help a celebrity do that?
Yeah, I mean, it totally depends. It's kind of on a case-by-case basis. But, yeah, I mean, for all the people that we work with, they're effectively, you know, the editor-in-chief, and they can be as involved or uninvolved as they want. As I said, pretty much everybody's involved in Twitter. I think it's important to me.
Okay.
Well, I think it's good, you know, and to the credit of what, you know, Miles and these guys are doing, you know, I think it's good that this actress that you're referring to came to you, because if she were, no matter how recognizable her name may or may not be and how many fans she may have, you know, if she were to start a Twitter account that said tune into Hawaii 5-0,
it would be an abomination
of what the platform is.
Right.
So we've talked most about Facebook and Twitter. Let's kind of step back and talk about, of all the social tools that are out there, what are social tools that celebrities should be using? It sounds like it's mostly Facebook and Twitter. Are they also using Instagram, Pinterest, Google Plus?
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about Pinterest. And not because it's, well, I guess because it's so popular right now, but not because it's trendy, but because we actually have internal data that it drives insane amounts of traffic. I think there was now a study that was posted on, I think, Mashable or something like that, that was talking about how Pinterest is now referring more traffic than, I think, than Twitter, actually, is what it said. But so what we've actually found is that, so we run laurenconrad.com and, you know, work with her on her social media as well. And we're actually, we found that within 4 months of creating a Pinterest account, that Pinterest is now driving nearly 10% of all the traffic coming to the website within just 4 months. And now across the board, yeah, it's insane.
What kind of pictures is she putting up?
Photos and different lifestyle photos and things like that.
Just like,
it's using Pinterest the way that it's literally like, here are, you know, my favorite clothes or my favorite shoes or things like that. So, and actually that's the key. I mean, the challenge again with social media is that it's not generic, right? Each platform is different. So each platform has to be used in the way that it's meant to be used, but still be on brand. So it's about dissecting that celebrity brand to its kind of core essence and then adapting it to each new medium. Just like you would take like Harry Potter and it gets adapted. Well, I mean, it starts out as a book, but then it gets adapted into a movie. It gets adapted into like action figures or, you know, actually there's a whole, you know, theme park that's out there. So that's kind of how you need to think about it for each different social media channel.
Right.
I think when it falls flat and you see it a lot is when people try to take the same medium and use it, you know, over and over, like using Twitter like a broadcast medium when it's really not.
Right.
And just adding to that, another one where, you know, we see artists having a lot of success, and frankly, we have a lot of success with our platform is Tumblr.
Yeah.
And, you know, the opportunity to just go a little bit more personal and a little bit more deeper around things that an artist cares about and is interested in, it just offers a level of, I think, you know, depth that, you know, sometimes can be tough to communicate on Twitter or even Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So Lauren Conrad has like a teen girl following who is very interested in clothes and fashion. Would Pinterest work for, I don't know, The Rock?
I don't know. I mean, Pinterest is primarily a female audience. I wouldn't say it's necessarily teen, though. It goes actually, it's pretty broad. So I think any brand that is like, you know, fashion or design or like, you know, interior design or architecture. It's also a visual medium, so it's got to be a brand that also translates really, really well to like good-looking photos.
Right.
So what we're basically rolling out across all of our different lifestyle, beauty, fashion kind of partners.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. What I would say is I'm not 100% sure if it would work for a primarily male demographic. It might eventually, but right now, probably not so much.
Because right. You could argue that, you know, they'll put, like, their cool cars that they like.
Yeah, but it's like I think it's 93% female.
That's true,
or something.
Right,
so
right.
There really aren't many guys
right.
on
So
it.
Be smart about, like, who the celebrity is and what audience they're trying to reach and make sure they're on
is
that
it
platform.
It's something
male?
Insane. I mean, I mean anecdotally, I don't know that many men that use it. So, but, yeah, I heard that it's, like, literally.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, thanks to Carrie Fitz PR for tweeting, TODX TV, you're doing a great job, LRAP Tweets and Social Samba, keep the tweets coming. Other guys, folks, keep tweeting. You guys are all, raise your hands, saying you're social media folks. Let's see it. Cool. So actually, let's take it to the audience for a couple questions on what we've talked about so far. We've talked about which celebrities go online. We've talked about what sort of main tools they use and sort of kind of how they use it. So we'll take a little break to get you guys' feedback. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Anne Strinney from American Express. One of the questions I have is, how do you prevent so much churn? Like, once you start to gather followers, how do you keep them on Twitter, Pinterest, and Facebook versus like the like, unlike, follow, unfollow?
How do you get them to do what?
To stop the churn. So like keep them there versus you see people coming on and coming off so often.
Okay. So how, once you do something to like get celebrities like on, I guess, one of your platforms, how do you make sure that you keep them there and they didn't just like respond to a tweet and then don't follow you or something like that? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you were asking about the audience, right, and how you keep people, the followers, entertained. Have you seen, do you look that closely at like the people when they follow and unfollow you, and have you noticed any trends?
I mean, luckily, mine has continued to grow. I would say more than anything, it's just consistency,
yeah.
You know, and not, again, I unfollow people that feels like The Wire, or like their PR person is doing it, and it's clear that their PR person is doing it. It's just not my taste in anything, and I think it's kind of purposeless to be engaged in social media if you're just going to have your press people handle it. So I would say, I mean, I don't know how it works with specifically American Express, but for me, I mean, my mother doesn't have a lot of Twitter followers, like, at all, and she was complaining. She's like, why don't I have more Twitter followers? And I was like, because it's boring, and I love you, but, you know, I mean, it's just, like, you need to engage in some way, and, you know, saying, like, I'm watching this movie, that's great, but, you know, at a certain point, it shouldn't just be I'm eating a ham sandwich and watching, you know, Mad Men. Like, I think you have to, like, actually engage in an actual way. I've been accused of taking it too far and over-tweeting and over-sharing, so I don't know if I'm the right person you want to listen
well,
to.
Well, I think just adding on that, I mean, and I'm not going to name names here, so I don't know. If you want to find me later and buy me a drink, then maybe we can discuss. But I was helping to organize a conference that a number of highly recognizable celebrities were involved with. It was a digital conference, and all of them, you know, it was talent that are very engaged through social media. And it was fascinating because one artist in particular had the following that was probably about one-fifth on Twitter of another artist. But the way that he, both of whom were on at this conference, but the way that he speaks to his audience is, you know, just has a magic touch. And it's hard to really, I mean, it's purely qualitative. It's totally subjective. And for me to even describe what he does that's so special is frankly difficult. But during that conference, him speaking out via Twitter completely blew up what anyone else was able to generate in terms of responses and just the total kind of activation off of his Twitter feed. You know, again, where, you know, his following was a fraction of some of the other celebrities or talent that was involved. And it's just, you know, again, it's that je ne sais quoi. It's how people engage their fan base and their fans in a way that excites them.
Yeah, and I would add to that and say value. So consistency and providing value. So you need to think, like, why the hell is somebody actually following this account and what are they getting from it? And whether that's it makes them laugh or it makes them smarter, they learn something, or somehow you need to provide value to them. And those two things, consistency and value, I think are the ones that will really, like, keep people hooked and prevent that churn.
To be entertaining or...
Yeah, entertaining,
jokes or
yeah, whatever.
Funny,
yeah, exactly.
Or actually something informational.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
But on a side note, I mean, I follow people just because I think it's, like, ridiculously entertaining. Like, Jose Canseco's Twitter feed is, like, unbelievable. Because he's always tweeting about breaking up with his girlfriend and how he'll never love, like, he once loved with Layla. And I don't care about baseball. I don't care about Jose Canseco. I don't really know who he is, but his Twitter feed is, like, hilarious. So... I don't know what, you know, in the context of that, but I think there are some people that just overshare to the point that it's entertaining, and not that that's what you should be doing, but yeah. There are some people that I would never care about, but because their Twitter feeds are interesting.
Right.
And there are other people that I used to like, and then I read their Twitter, and I'm like, they're morons.
All right, so let's talk about that. What makes someone interesting? When we've done panels before with writers, they always talk about the voice. Like, where is the writer's voice? Let's talk about, like, your voice as a celebrity, or, like, kind of, like, what you sound like, on, or what you tweet about, what your essence is. Can you talk about that? Like, which celebrities... Some celebrities are naturally have a lot of personality. It's just easy. Just give them, like, something to communicate, and they'll have a field day. And then some, they might take some prodding. But can you talk about celebrities' voice and the importance of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually, I mean, what you're describing is the key, right? And even if it's a brand, like if it is Amex or whatever, you need to personify that brand. Like, it needs to become a character. And And for the celebrities, they are a character. And if and for some of them, it's interesting. For we've found that a lot of the and actually you talked about this earlier, but I really use the word influencer more. So it's really anybody who's an influencer in some sort of a vertical. They're not necessarily like the traditional celebrity in the sort of traditional sense of the word. But what I was going to say is that we found actually with some of the more like traditional theatrical like film actors, it's actually a little bit harder sometimes because they take on a role and they take on different roles in movies. They play different characters, but some of them are actually kind of private or they just don't really necessarily have like a public character. Whereas some of the like reality TV stars, that's easy. Like we run JWoww's digital and it's like, okay, JWoww has a very clear like public persona, but some other people don't. So finding that that character and that voice, it's critical. And it may not be like self-evident what that is like in the beginning. Your character in social media actually could be a little bit different than your character in like Us Weekly or in like you know the movies you know that you're in.
So what if you have like an actor who stars in a lot of like you know action movies and then they suddenly get cast in a I don't know a family-friendly heartwarming comedy. Do they change the nature of their...
Well,
their...
no, that's hard to do. So, I mean, actually, one of the big things that we do when we first sit down with one of our partners is we have very detailed conversations with them and their manager and their agents and, like, their whole team and literally say, all right, like, let's look at what you've done. Let's look at what you're doing right now. And then let's talk, like, 5-10 years down the line, where do you see your career, you know, heading? Are you aiming to get, you know, that daytime talk, you know, talk show, or like, are you going to be? Do you want to win the Academy Award for your acting? And like, you're super into being a serious actor, because whatever you put out there, because it's so comprehensive between you know your website and your Twitter, your Facebook, your YouTube, the whole like distributed channel, it is going to be kind of challenging to rebrand. I mean, it's literally like rebranding, you know, Walmart or something like that. It becomes difficult. So yeah, I think it is very important to spend that time to figure it out before you do it. Now, that being said, there is some iteration you can do, but it's hard to do a wholesale change.
So be strategic and figure out like how all of your tweets should kind of align with your brand. Basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Don't just like tweet random stuff. Carrie Fitz PR tweeted that some of the stuff doesn't apply to celebrities, it applies to everybody. And that's certainly true. While we're talking about celebrities, everything we're talking about today can be applied to your brand, to your blog, to your website, and to your personal account. So let's do a question over here quick.
Yeah, so I know you guys work with celebrities and you, Megan, kind of are in the public role yourself, so are one. But we have a lot of clients who aren't celebrities yet and would like to become celebrities. I don't know if you have any insight on how to build a celebrity from someone who isn't yet.
That's a great point. So first, I'll segue into how to build your celebrity base. Let's say you're not famous, you're a band, you're a comedian, you're an actor, but you want to be. How can you, or at least you want to build more followers in your social media following, you want to build more Twitter accounts so you get that role, you want to build more, I don't know, fans on Facebook so you get that band gig. You want to talk about that, Megan? How did you get started, basically? Because you had a blog back in like the, you know, the blog days, kind of before social media. How did you turn that into a Twitter following or your social media following?
Just before I go off that, what I think is fascinating that's going on Twitter right now is there are some people that everybody follows, and I don't know who they are or why. Like this woman, Jenny Johnson, and Kelly Oxford. Like, I don't know who the hell you are or where you came from. Apparently, you have kids, but you're really funny. Yeah. So I'm going to follow your tweets. I am working with a comedian, and some of the comedians that he works with, I've started following on Twitter. I'm not a stand-up person. They don't have television shows. They don't have anything except blogs and Twitter. And it's hilarious, and they have thousands and thousands of Twitter followers. So I kind of think if you're good enough, cream rises to the top. Like, if you're funny enough, and I think that goes the same way with people in politics. Like, if you're interesting enough, like, there's really no reason why, you know, the mayor of Newark should have over 1 million Twitter followers. There's really no reason why Gavin Newsom should have over 1 million Twitter followers. But whatever they're saying and doing is on, you know, they're great Twitter feeds, and they're, you know, sort of personal, which I also think they're doing well. So I think even if you're not a celebrity, and I don't consider myself celebrity in that sense, I just think, like, if you're good enough, I think it will happen. You know, I don't understand why some of these people just keep popping up in my feed. Like the Jenny Johnson woman, who's apparently like a camera woman or something in Texas, like, you know, just random, but she was so funny and irreverent that she has, you know, hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers. Well, so
yeah, I mean, and adding that into the direct answer to your question, which is going to sound pithy, but it's true, is to get celebrities and artists to follow you. And so there's one, Twitter called Tweet of God, and I don't know how many of you follow it, but I mean, this guy is hilarious. And some of my clients when I was at CAA would engage this guy directly, and it was just hilarious. And I could literally see this, you know, again, anonymous person, and maybe he's also a camera person, you know, somewhere in the Midwest. But I could literally see when some of, you know, the artists that I work with would engage Tweet of God, I would see, you'd see like literally instantly the number of Twitter followers go up like within a day, you know, to the next level.
Right. So it sounds like if you're entertaining enough and you have a strong enough voice, even if you're not a celebrity, people will start to follow you anyway, and you will become, at least on Twitter, the somewhat semi Twitter celebrity status because you're entertaining, like you said.
Yeah. Right. And I guess, you know, to give a more honest answer, I mean, or another variation of the answer, it's not necessarily have celebrities follow you, but engage people with, you know, large, robust Twitter follower, you know, following themselves.
And I would add one thing to that. So in addition to directly targeting the people who are popular on that platform, target platforms that are new, because there's a much higher signal to noise ratio. So like trying to become really popular on Twitter right now is going to be hard. Trying to become really popular on Pinterest right now will be easier. Trying to become popular on something that nobody in this room has heard of, but they will know about 6 months from now, is going to be a lot easier. So really being an active user of social media applications and really following almost the tech scene and knowing like what's going to blow up, that's huge. I mean, because in my, you know, previous life doing Lonely Girl 15, we were using YouTube before anybody really knew about YouTube outside of like the geek world. And we rode that wave. And so we were able to build because YouTube was growing.
And what kind of celebrities are you talking about? What?
Like a kids cookbook author and the owner of a bakery in L.A.
Well, Sprinkles is doing very well. So the Sprinkles Twitter has 76,000 followers, which is awesome for a bake shop that makes really delicious cupcakes. All right, so, I want to make sure we answer your question, though. So the question originally was building the brand online. How do you start from a blog, which is what you had, Megan, and build that to a Twitter following? Because blog is like, here's my blog back in, like, you know, 5 years ago when blogs were the only way to communicate, but you'd be able to, you know, manage that, and now you have a large Twitter following, you have your Facebook following. How did you build that up?
I just knew that
I... Can you Megan in the back?
Sorry. Can you hear me now? I just knew that I had a very unique experience, and this is so cheesy when I tell this story, but I had read Hunter S. Thompson's Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, and it totally was like the only thing I ever knew about that made anything in politics remotely cool, and I just loved it so much that I thought, if I can do a blog that in any way is going to show some kind of... I think people think it's like a fun and easy experience, and it is, but it's also like crazy and like super like X-rated and like all this crazy. Like I wrote a book about it. Like, it's crazy experience as well, and I knew that if I could do even something small to do it, and I was censored by my father's campaign to a degree. Like, if it wasn't exactly like my... thank God I wasn't on Twitter then, because I'd probably be in jail. But I think, you know, I just knew I had a unique experience, and the blogette word, as cheesy as it is now, and I'm 27 years old, and it's not the word I would choose to attach myself with permanently for my life, but that's like what people refer me to, that's how people identify me on the internet. So I would tell people, when you're choosing your brand, like, choose wisely, because you cannot change it. But I don't know, I just think, again, coming from a real place, coming from an organic place, and sharing that, you know, even though I, you know, have these crazy experiences and do these crazy things, you're a human being. Nothing gets more traffic and more interest than bad dating stories from me, literally. Like, people love it all the time, and tweeting about it, and I've had guys ask me not to tweet anything afterward, so...
They sign like a Twitter confidentiality. Like, have you sign it when you go out?
But I think it's just...
a tweet DA.
Yeah.
On some level, you have to be not scared like of that. The backlash. Because, I mean, anything you write about... I mean, I have been eviscerated on the internet. I mean, the things that will come up about me are just awful. And that's the double-edged sword about, you know, sharing so much. I mean, there are just blogs that just every single day have something nasty to say about me. But you kind of have to get over it and think, you know, of the bigger picture and the bigger cause. But I just think if you have a unique experience and a unique voice, people will come to it.
Okay. Where's Laura Chang? All right, so Laura had a question on Twitter you want to answer your question about philanthropy?
Yeah, so we have celebrities that approach us. I work for a nonprofit, and part of my job is to really filter through what they're saying and figure out whether we want to attach ourselves to them or not, because it can be really damaging. So what would be your biggest tips, I guess, for trying to predict how volatile that could be? Because for some people...
Wait, that wasn't a philanthropy question, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
For a nonprofit.
Oh, for a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like the Coney thing that's happening right now? And is that what you're...
No, that's awesome, though. So that's kind of blown up, and they've had this, you know, great coverage. It's questioned a lot. People have questioned it a lot, but ultimately they've achieved what they wanted.
So is your question how do celebrities figure out what philanthropic organizations they get involved with socially? Okay.
The opposite, yeah.
Yeah. How do we filter out the celebrities that are gonna be kind of damaging to our brand? What should we look out for? Because there's some that I would think, yeah, they're awesome, and then like 3 weeks later, something happens. I'm like, crap.
That's a great segue. Let's blow that out instead of just philanthropy to brands. So a lot of brands, they see that celebs have good Twitter followings or good social media followings, and they want to become attached to that. How do the brands figure out which celebrities to partner with so celebrities don't say something stupid or tweet something bad and make them look bad?
I mean, so I'll give a hugely biased answer, and then I can give an unbiased answer. My hugely biased answer is work with Equal. or work with a company like Equal, because we serve as a middleman to make sure that that doesn't happen. So, and not only that, but obviously provide all the analytics and reporting and like all that crap that brands or, you know, philanthropic organizations actually need to prove that the campaign worked, rather than, hey, do some random tweet. It's actually literally doing a media buy across a network. So that's the biased answer. The unbiased answer would be, and this is putting on my other hat, because in a past life I was a medical doctor, which is kind of random. Like, Nathan, you can buy me a beer and I'll tell you more about that. But look for signs of, like, you know, medical disorders. Like, you can literally, and I'll just say that you can look at the tweet streams of some celebrities, and they shall remain nameless. And it is clear that they are either borderline or bipolar, or there are some issues going on, and they may not be the best ones to partner with. So that's what I'll say.
The issue you're raising is not dissimilar from, you know, an issue that's existed for decades when brands would look to, or advertisers would look to, get into business with artists or celebrities, you know, through a traditional endorsement kind of a relationship. You know, the difference here is like it's that on acid, right? I mean, you know,
that's very tweetable. Someone tweet that. It's,
I mean, unlike the kind of old world, like this can all change within a 12-hour period, 24-hour period, based on the dialogue. You know, as someone who has brokered relationships between artists and advertisers, so not so much in the case of philanthropic interests, but advertisers who have that exact same concern, it comes down to that. You say to the advertiser, look, this is, you know, you can look at this person's voice over the last, you know, 6 months. Are you comfortable with that voice? And then, you know, just putting, you know, just articulating a relationship, whether it's in a contract or some kind of agreement, things as simple as, you know, no tweet or Facebook post or what have you is going to speak of the relationship with, you know, in your case, your philanthropic organization without prior approval, or without some, you know, fences, you know, around what they're going to say in the context of the relationship they have with your organization.
So that's a really good point. Would you recommend
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I have it in mind, like my MSNBC contract, there's a morality clause about it. And Roland Martin, who works for CNN recently, is the most recent example I can give, who tweeted something during the Super Bowl that was perceived as being homophobic, and he lost his job at CNN, or he's indefinitely suspended from CNN. I mean, it's like there are very real repercussions for being an asshole and talking about it. Yeah.
I think
it's also
really
very tweetable. There are very real repercussions for being an asshole.
How do you keep it up? I mean, one of the key things to your social media is being authentic to your followers and keeping them engaged. So if you broker a deal with a brand to tweet on their behalf or tweet a link to a commercial or tweet a link to something, how do you be authentic and you're getting paid for it? And then do you disclose that you're getting paid for it? Like, how do you be transparent and engaging to your consumers while still getting paid and monetizing your social media?
All right, awesome question.
Yeah. Well, so first of all, you're required to disclose by the FCC. So the same, like, you know, disclosures for a blog, I think at least implicitly apply to social media. So for us, we do this, and it's all very clearly labeled as coming from a sponsor.
Do you endorse her?
We actually don't directly sell any inventory on Twitter or Facebook, so all the ad units are back on the site. They're blog posts, but the blog posts say sponsored post, and it'll have a logo from the brand. It's very clearly from the brand. So that's number one. Number two, the key is the pairing of the brand with the celebrity or the influencer. So if that pairing is inauthentic and if there's a mismatch between the brand and the talent, that causes an issue. But if there's a good fit between the brand and the talent, then it feels really natural. And then the third thing that I would say is, again, coming back to what I said earlier, provide value. So if you look at least for our website, I didn't talk much about it, but so we operate like 32 celebrity websites and social media accounts. We actually just launched Jennifer Lopez the other week, which is pretty awesome. But a whole bunch of people, including Megan. If you provide value to the community from that brand, it's pretty incredible how accepting and actually thankful the community is. So most of the advertising that we do actually involves some form of like a giveaway or like coupons or like discounts or gift cards or something where, like, in a very real and authentic way, the brand is saying, hey, I want to tell you about our product or service, but I want to provide you something of value in the process.
Right, so it's just so they get something. The celebs are basically giving something on behalf.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Something.
Yeah.
So people actually...
You would only put it on the blog?
I mean, for us, we don't sell tweets directly, yeah. So we do it all on the site.
So you're just assuming that people get to that blog?
Yeah, I mean, there's promotion that goes out for the site through Twitter and Facebook that ultimately drives people back, but the ad unit itself is on the blog.
What about Kim Kardashian? It was rumored, I don't know if it's true, that Kim Kardashian was paid or is paid $10,000 to tweet something on behalf of brands. What do you think about
that? Yeah, but so Adley was doing that, but Adley's not doing that. I mean, I don't think they're even around anymore. So, like, a lot of that sponsored tweet stuff is not really happening anymore. It's fading out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to add to that, go ahead and then.
I've been asked to do that before, and I always felt like I always felt like it's not the place for it. Like, Twitter is an intimate in the sense that, you know, what you put on the internet is intimate as that can be. I mean, it's to me, I consider it a personal. These are people that have chosen to take time out of their day to read whatever shit I have to say, which, you know, could be as mundane as something about my hair to as serious as something about what's going on in the world of politics. I don't really think, and again, Kim Kardashian has 5 million Twitter followers, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I kind of don't. I feel like if you do it too soon, if you're a big enough celebrity and you do it too soon, I have unfollowed people because it's just ads. I don't care that, you know, Skechers is sponsoring a shoe line or whatever. I would say to you is that if you have people that are trying to build a brand, I definitely wouldn't do it if you're in the building process. My personal opinion.
And then to add to that, and another way to answer that question is, and I've brokered relationships between brands and artists for programs that were broadcast vis-a-vis Twitter and Facebook. It's never about schlocking the product. It's never about schlocking the product. It's about aligning interests and promoting a shared interest. So, you know, one example from a couple of years ago, Demi Lovato entered into a relationship with Clean and Clear, and she never tweeted or spoke about, like, I wash my face with Clean and Clear. Instead, an organization that Demi was very passionate about, which is called Do Something, and it's also an organization that Clean and Clear was very, very active in supporting over a number of years. And so in that case, they both came together to promote and talk about the Do Something organization over the course of a summer, which, if you're trying to reach teens, is when they have a lot of free time. So it's really about finding a way to align shared interests that have, you know, very little to do with the physical product. And that's one way we've seen, you know, I've seen success, and I think it becomes interesting versus, I clean my face with this.
Yeah, yeah, the straight up, like, tweets that are like, you know, discount at Best Buy, they don't work.
Yeah. I've heard that one rule is make sure the celeb actually uses and likes the brand, and then it's up.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, keep the tweets coming. There's been like a huge spike in our tweets. Ann Strini, Megan Stone. Internee, keep them coming. We want this to be, we want hashtag celeb brand to be a trending topic for the tweets. All right, so you had a question here?
Yeah, so you mentioned if you're trying to build a brand to try and get on the platform that's up and coming,
So I run a service called Repostus that lets you repost whole blog posts, embed them on fan sites or whatever. How do I reach the people who are running celebrity brands to get them to come and use my service?
Talk to Miles.
talk to Miles afterwards. All right,
I
next
literally
question.
Was like, in the, yeah.
It's basically talk to Miles afterwards because he is one of them and there's others in L.A. All right, there's a question that I don't know if this person is actually in the audience. Owadinko? Yes. Oh, okay, cool. Do you want to ask the question that you just tweeted? See, I told you we're interactive.
Hi, thank you. What are the most... Hi. What are the most important KPI about engagement in terms of quality and what are the most important KPI?
All right, so KPI, key performance indicators. What are the most important metrics basically to track engagement? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you track engagement? Everyone's doing all this stuff. Celebrities are doing engagement. Miles, you're working with celebrities who pay you to help them out. What sort of performance metrics do they look at?
So it's interesting. So I'll start on the ad sales side because it's probably the more quantitative side, and then I'll talk a little more qualitatively. But so we sell advertising across our network, and the primary metric,
like banner ads, and
yeah. So what I was going to say is it still comes a lot down to the website because it's a little bit difficult for advertisers to value a tweet or a Facebook post, and plus. Those platforms change their algorithms. Like, I don't know if you guys have been reading about the timeline change that happened with Facebook, but it's dramatically reducing the exposure of Facebook posts to fan pages in other people's feeds. So it's estimated now that if you have people that like a fan page, only about, like, I think 17% of them are going to actually see something when you post it to the page. And that's because Facebook changed the algorithm because they want people to buy more and more of their ads. So what I would say is from our standpoint, at least, things that are kind of traditional like page views, unique visitors, time on site, and things like that are actually what we end up selling on. Now, if you look more broadly at just like trying to measure the mass of your social media out there and how does that then influence your ability to either get traffic to a site or send traffic somewhere, because that's kind of ultimately what matters. We look at the post views number from Facebook Insights. I don't know, that's the one that I follow the most, which is basically, it's an indicator of the number of impressions on a Facebook post on Facebook. And then we use a service called TweetReach to measure kind of overall impact on Twitter. And then a good proxy that I use a lot, which I don't know how scientific this is, but we like it, is just the number of comments that we can drive on a blog post when we syndicate it out into Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, into social media. So, you know, we have, and that I think is a pretty good indicator because if you look at a blog in general, oftentimes the number of comments is kind of low unless you have like a super high traffic blog like a TechCrunch or something. But we'll find that on like some of our sites, we literally have tens of thousands of comments on blog posts, and that's directly correlated with the accounts that have huge Twitter followers or huge Facebook posts. But it doesn't directly correlate to the precise number because the amount of engagement of the people following you on Twitter or of the people who have liked you on Facebook is very variable. And I don't have like a good number that just can sum that up.
All right. That's a good question.
Sorry, but is that just quantitative? It's not qualitative. It's just about numbers. So the quality of the comments.
So I mean, the quality is certainly really important. I mean, I would definitely say looking at not just the number but also the content of it is important. It's hard to quantify.
How do you measure that?
I don't know how to measure it, but I can tell you that when we actually read the comments, like again on our sites, it's all real people. I mean, there's companies that you can pay to like get you likes or get you followers, but ultimately, I don't think that ever works because you end up with just like fake people that aren't really participating. So yeah, I think like what the people are talking about is important. It's just it's hard to measure. So it's when we talk to a brand and we're actually reporting to them, we're not reporting like the qualitative nature of the comments. Even though I think it's the most important thing, it's hard to kind of quantify that.
Does anybody in the audience have good examples of social media dashboards that track the quality as well as the quantity of comments? Anyone heard of anything? Is anyone working on a startup that does this, makes money off of this? All right, no one. All right, if you have one, tweet it out. We'll retweet it. All right, so question.
So we talked about Facebook and Twitter a lot, but you didn't really touch on Google Plus, the new guy on the street. And it has some really interesting tools with Hangouts and on-air Hangouts. How do you see that changing? I've seen some celebrities, Jerry Ryan, Pete once, use it on their own kind of to test it out when it was brand new, still in beta testing. So where do you see that platform going with how celebrities start to interact with their fan base face-to-face?
Okay, so how about using Google Plus? What are the tools or features of Google Plus that might help celebrities or maybe not?
We don't use it a ton, but I would say that I don't think that's going to be the case forever. Part of it is a bandwidth thing. There's only so much, so many resources that, like, you know, we can devote, so we tend to go to the highest impact platforms. I do think that the feature set is really cool, and there are certainly interesting things that you can do with like the live video Hangouts and things like that. And what I would say is that because they are Google's massively pushing the product, and in particular tying it directly into search and search results, I mean, we do run some Google Plus pages, but I think that we probably could utilize it more. And I think this year it's going to be a lot more important with the integration.
Megan, do you use Google Plus at all?
No, I mean...
Okay, Nathan?
No, I was just going to say I have less of an answer and more I just concur with the conversation, which is, like, for example, the property that I run, Cambio, we just started using Google Plus because it is really interesting. There's some pretty, I think, innovative ways to engage, but, you know, it's a bandwidth issue. It's also, you know, kind of we have to wait and see a little bit in terms of what the rewards are going to be from that, from a, you know, just, you know, kind of magnitude of the ability to engage.
Okay, that's a question in the front.
Hi, my name's Karen. I have a PR agency in Sydney. I wanted to ask you about issues management, crisis management. You know, there are all sorts of situations that can suddenly arise that were unexpected despite all the meetings in the world. I'm just wondering if you can provide some insights, you know, getting ahead of the news cycle. How important is it, say, you've got a news story that's going to break, you know, that fear that it's front page of a newspaper. How can you use your social media tactics to try and cope with that?
Okay, so crisis and damage control, it sounds like. All right, so yeah, so celebrities are building their brands online. What happens when something happens that the celebrity does or says or something that happens in with the advertiser or sponsor that can potentially damage your brand online? How do you do damage control?
Oh, I always tell people that the go-to worst-case scenario exactly not to do is Anthony Weiner. And he just lied and lied and lied and thought he could get away with it. And again, once it's on the internet, it's gone. And he, you know, tweeted jokes. I think his Twitter account is still active, and he tweeted jokes making fun of himself. And, you know, again, if anyone knows anything about bloggers and people on the internet, trying to cover up something on the internet, I'm always amazed when anyone thinks that that's even possible anymore, especially as a congressman. And I just think in PR, in my world, that is like kind of like the worst case scenario of how to handle anything in politics.
So how should you handle it if you're tweeting naked pictures of yourself?
I've had incidents myself that I am not, I mean, now looking back on it, I can laugh at it as well. It goes with the dangers of the internet. I tweeted a picture that will follow me around forever 2.5 years ago where apparently people thought that I looked zaftig, I guess is the right word to use. And it created a huge firestorm. I just was honest, and I apologized. And I think that worked very well, and the internet was very sympathetic to me. And people were very, you know, in this era, in this age, you know, it's... And I always tell college students, there's one piece of advice I would give to any college student, a teenager, anything, is just think twice about the pictures you tweet on the internet or put on Facebook, because unfortunately, it really is forever. But I have... Honesty has always worked best for me, and asking for forgiveness from the bloggers, they tend to be sympathetic, in my experience.
All right, let's talk about how celebrities are doing all this activity on social media to gain their fan, to gain fans, increase their relationship with their fans, and to grow their fan base. How does that help them? Or what can they do with this now? You mentioned that this Hawaii Five-0 person can now, you know, maybe get the role. What are some other, you know, success metrics as far as a celebrity's career that can happen as a result of properly using social media and developing a large following? Megan, you mentioned you got a book deal out of your Twitter.
Did.
So, can you talk about that story, and can you talk into the mic a little closer?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I mean, I have one of my now closest friends in my book that's coming out in July all happened because of Twitter. So to anyone that ever...
So how did it happen?
I'm working with a comedian named Michael Ian Black, who has 1.8 million Twitter followers. Talk about someone who's using the internet accurately, which actually we had met through just via satellite. I did an interview with him over satellite, and we started following each other on Twitter. And then he was, he says he was high on Ambien one night, but I don't know if that's even possible. And he direct messaged me saying, do you want to write a book together? And literally, I don't know anything about him other than I had seen I Love the 80s in college, and he seemed funny in our interview. And I said, yeah, let's sell a book together. And we sold a book 2 weeks later. I didn't know him. I knew nothing about him. And then after I sold the book, I was like, what the hell? Did I just do? This is crazy. But part of me agreeing to do it with him, I was like, anybody with 1.8 million Twitter followers like is doing something right and knows something well. So we went on a road trip together, and our book's coming out in July. And it was all because of Twitter, direct message in the middle of the night. So.
Okay. You must have any examples of celebrities rocking it and getting ahead in their careers personally because of their social media following?
Yeah, I mean, well, I would say first and foremost, they have to do it just to be relevant in traditional media now. And the Hawaii Five-0 is just one example of many that we hear constantly. And there's, you know, a huge amount of pressure. You saw this when you were at CAA, but like huge amount of pressure on agents and managers by the talent that to do something, because literally they are not getting roles if they are not active in social media, because all of the studios and all of the producers know that their show can blow up and can be popular if somebody is popular in social media. I mean, look at Ashton Kutcher getting the role on Two and a Half Men. That's like 100% because of his social media, and, you know, not because of the performance of his movies lately. So, like, that's like, no offense to Ashton, who I like. Sorry, Ashton. But definitely from social media. So I would say, number one, they just have to do it. Number two, there's two values. So one is short term and one is long term. Short term is actually making money off of that audience through a variety of different ways. Advertising, selling, you know, products, having people join like a fan club, selling like a short film like Louis C.K. did. You can directly monetize that audience in a whole variety of ways. And whether it's with a company like ours or on your own, like, it's totally doable. And then the final one is, like, for the first time ever, they can actually have a direct relationship with their audience. They can, like, have email addresses and demographic information, particularly if they have their own site. The one thing that I think is a dangerous thing to do is to just have, like, a Facebook page or just have a Twitter account or just have pages, because you do not own those. But you do own your blog or you own your website. So having a comprehensive strategy that utilizes social media to then drive to a hub that you actually own, there's so much long-term value in that. I can't over.
Right. Do social media, but still drive traffic to your blog or site to actually get the emails, because then you could.
Yeah, you have to own. You have to ultimately own that customer. But yeah, I mean, and then you are a network. You know, like Jennifer Lopez. You know, she is a network. You know, Megan is a network. She has an audience that she owns.
Right. And to your point about actors, I was at the Produced By conference over at the Disneyland last year, where they had these five. They had a panel on showrunners, who are the people who basically decide who gets to help star in the film. One of the showrunners said that they chose Alyssa Milano to be a guest star on one of the TV shows, I think it was House or something like that, because they knew that by doing that she would probably tweet about it. Not paid to, but she'd probably tweet about it, which she did, to her demographic, which doesn't usually watch the show, so they were really psyched about that.
I don't know if this means anything, but I told my little sister wanted to go to the movies, and I was like, do you want to go see Wanderlust with Jennifer Aniston? And she was like, I don't really know who that is. Is she on Twitter? And literally, I was like, this doesn't say, like, where my sister's 20 years old. Like, I don't know if that says anything. And she's like, is she on Twitter? And I was like, I don't think Jennifer Aniston's on Twitter. But, you know, and she didn't want to see the movie, and that movie bombed. I mean, I don't know if there's exactly a correlation, because I don't know if you're a big enough star, it won't matter. But I just thought it was, you know, she's like, is she on Twitter? I mean, I don't know if I want to see that movie then.
Yeah. One thing I would add is we've talked a lot today about actors. We're seeing a lot of interesting success stories, and certainly germane to Austin in this week, with musicians and young musicians really popping by using Twitter and Facebook, and then in conjunction with YouTube in interesting ways, and really, really accelerating their popularity and their recognition.
So will bands with high Twitter followings or good Facebook followings be able to book shows better than other bands?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Because then they're like, oh, you guys have a good Twitter following, you can draw a crowd and people will come.
Yeah, and you know, we get more music listened to and ultimately sell more music.
So they can also use Twitter to actually get people to download their stuff and listen to it and experience it too. So, all right, cool. All right, so we have 1 minute left. So do you guys have any final comments or tips?
Well, we've talked about a lot.
We talked about everything. So.
We covered a lot. I would say, here's what I would say. We've talked a lot of serious numbers and quantitative whatever. I would say at the end of the day, ultimately, it's about having fun. So, and, you know, all of, you know, ultimately, everybody who is a performer is doing it because they love that craft of performance. So more than anything else, the most important thing is to really have fun with it and to enjoy using Twitter and engaging with that audience or Facebook or YouTube or Pinterest or whatever it is. So I would just emphasize the fun.
All right, so have fun. All right, so let's give our panelists a big round of applause for sharing today. Great conversation, great points. Thanks for the insights.
Thank you, Kevin, for doing an awesome job.
Thank you. So definitely follow them all. I was tweeting a lot of what you guys said through @DigitalA, so if you missed some of the things, you can follow that too or the hashtag. So enjoy the rest of your South by Southwest, and we'll see you around. Thanks.